Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Test Talks, a podcast dedicated to all things test automation related. I'm your host, Joe, from joecolantonio.com, and I can't believe this is the 40th episode of Test Talks. Test Talks is officially a year old, and I just want to thank everyone for their support, for listening and encouraging me and sending me emails. I've learned a lot over the past year, and I just wanted to let you know how much I really appreciate all my fellow Test Talkers. And I just wanted to give a special shout out to Sauce Labs, who early on showed their support for the show by becoming an exclusive sponsor. Because of their support, I'm able to invest more and more into the podcast and the equipment that I'm using. So I hope you could tell the difference in the quality of this show compared to the first few shows. And it's all because of Sauce Labs. Today's episode is sponsored by Sauce Labs. Sauce Labs makes test automation awesome. Sauce's cloud-based Selenium Grid helps developers test web and mobile apps across more than 400 browser and OS platforms. Sauce also supports Appium and popular JavaScript unit testing frameworks and integrates with all the top programming languages, test frameworks, and CI systems. With built-in video recording, debugging tools, and secure tunneling for firewall testing, Sauce helps you ship better software faster. Sign up at saucelabs.com with promo code TESTTALKS14 and get 20 hours of automated testing for free. Are you a tester who's trying to automate something that your normal test automation tool is not recognizing? Or are you a gamer looking to create an awesome game bot? Or maybe you're a combination of both? Then you're going to love this episode. Today, I'll be test talking about the open source image-based tool Sukuli, with the core developer and maintainer of Sukuli X. I think this is an inspiring test talk because Raymond Hook started the Sukuli X project later in life when most people stop trying to learn new things and become stagnant with learning. Raymond shows it's never too late to learn and to really deep dive into something that you're passionate about, and his enthusiasm and love for learning really come through in this episode. Check it out. Hey, Raymond. Welcome to Test Talks.
Hi, I'm Raymond, and my real name is Raimond, and I'm doing Sukuli.
So, Raymond, can you just tell us a little bit more about yourself?
I am 65 years old. I have retired from my business. That's why I have enough time for one of my hobbies. This is Sukuli. So my business lifetime, I have been in IT management. I know the IT business from the early 70s. I was there when the PC was born and all this stuff. But I never have been a programmer in my lifetime. On the other hand, I know many programming languages and all this stuff because I always was very interested in these things. 4 years ago when I started with Sukuli, I'm now programming 3 years semi-professional, I would say, because I think I use the tools that all the other people use that are programming, and I'm getting better every day.
Awesome. How did you get involved with Sukuli?
I think it was late in 2009, beginning 2010. I came across a project driven by two guys from MIT at the department called User Interface Design Group. And they were in a preparation for their graduation, and they were working on the idea of visual automation. And they, at this time, early in 2010, they had set up a first version of Sukuli that already worked rather fine with the basic concept of Sukuli. And I was fascinated about this concept. And from this time on, I helped these people in the beginning with documentation and ideas and things like that. And in 2012, late 2012, they left the project because they graduated and had other business. And I took over. And since then, I'm developing Sukuli. I now call it Sukuli X to differentiate it from the history.
Awesome. So I guess before we really jump into it, what is Siculi?
In the first place is an idea, a concept that you sit before your monitor, have your mouse and your keyboard clicking in different places on the GUI and wait for the system to react. And then you click further until you have finalized what you wanted to do. And the idea of Siculi is to automate exactly these things. It's the idea that you script what you see. Something like WYSIWYS, what you see is what you script. So you take snapshot, small images of buttons and parts of the GUI, and then you can say, wait for this image to appear on the screen. If it is there, then click it, and then again wait for another image, and then click that, wait for that. And this is the basic concept of Siculi. Waiting for images, acting on these images, and as long as you want, as you need it.
Awesome. Yeah. It's really cool technology. It's basically image-based automation is the way I think of it. So my background is as a test automation engineer. So a lot of times I'll come across sometimes, you know, an application that just can't be automated using the normal technology. Like the test tools don't recognize the object.
Yep.
So one way around that is doing some sort of imaging-based testing, but I could never find a tool that was one, affordable, or two, reliable. And I've just done some preliminary things with Siculi, and it seems to be both those things. Both, you know, it's open source, and two, it seems to be really reliable, which is crazy. So in your experience, what do you find most people using Siculi for?
I think most people out there use it for creating game bots.
Oh, cool.
Yes. This is what I think. I never made a usage survey. This is what I can see about reactions and what I see in different places where people talk about Siculi or ask questions in our own launchpad, our own board. And the main other place is Stack Overflow, where you can find many questions about Siculi. And there's another great group of people that they have something to do with testing, with software testing. And these people are getting more and more because I think I made it possible, more easy for them to use Siculi than 3 years ago. Because this now it can be used in different environments and it is defined and how you can use it with different test environments. And all these things have been improved. So more and more people are using it together with other approaches for testing, for software testing. But I'm not sure about how often it is really used in this professional area.
Right. Awesome. Yeah. Actually, I interviewed for a gaming company a long time ago, and they're like, how would you automate this? And I was like, I don't know. But now that I think of it, Siculi would probably be perfect for that because it's all image-based. There was no APIs to get at it. So I wish I knew about this earlier.
I don't know very much about this professional testing scenario, but I know that there are people who are simply looking at the GUI and don't know how it is produced onto the screen, and they test this GUI. And visual testing is an easy way for them that they say, okay, if I do that, then I should see that in the upper right corner or something like that.
Yep.
And so such environments like testing frameworks based on the Gherkin language or Cucumber or Robert Framework is another framework with a high-level DSL. This is very easy for these people to think in Siculi.
Right, absolutely. And like I said, I've just tried it a few times and I really, really love it. And also, I've worked with teams that have to do imaging comparison for medical devices for like x-rays. Mm-hmm. So this is perfect for that, where you're definitely checking, is this the right image? So it's really cool. You mentioned something earlier that I wanted to dive into a little bit more, and that was in the past few years, you've really improved this so that it's easier to, I guess, integrate it with your our development environment. So what kind of improvements have you made over the last few years that help us to really use Siculi in a more, developer-driven kind of way?
The main thing was to make the Java-based API, to make it better documented and more consistent, more reliable. I added more debugging information and things like that. And this is the kernel of SQLy, the Java API, where it is implement how SQLy clicks something using the Java robot feature, and where the image search feature and image compare feature and all these things is implemented. And I improved this to make it better available for people who are really programming or setting up testing environments where they use some kind of programming.
Awesome. I know I looked at it also about 14 months ago and it didn't have an entry in Maven. So do you know if it's in Maven yet?
This is another point. It is principally, I'm doing my project on my own. I'm doing it in Maven. It's completely Mavenized. And I'm already one step before Maven. It is in the OSS RH environment. You can download snapshots. And it is documented how you can use it with your own Maven-based projects. And I'm just in the phase to get out the final version of 1.1.0. And when this is ready, the first time I will upload it to Maven Central to get it officially there.
Awesome. So we've talked about SQLy, SQLy 1, and I think I saw on the website something about SQLy 2. So what's the difference between these different versions or these different numbers?
SQLy started in 2010. It was some weird piece of software. I spent about, I think, together with these two guys and later on myself to get a structure into the software to find out what would be the pieces that SQLy should be divided into and how would it be a good way to make it available to people. And SQLy from the beginning wanted to be available on Windows, Mac, and Linux systems. And this is a great challenge. If you still now, there are parts inside that are programmed in C++. And this is a challenge. I want to get rid of this because it is possible now to get rid of the native parts. This is one aspect. I want to restructure again, or finally restructure the SQLy, and I don't want to do it with the version 1. Okay. Version 1 should be the pass from the beginning, and I will do some fix releases, 1.1.x, whatever, during the next month. But I will not put any new features in it or change anything that's basics. Version 2 will have no native code, only Java. And as far as possible, I still believe that it's possible. I will completely change the image handling. And I want to make it available for more scripting language. For example, now Java has a very good JavaScript engine built in. So you can simply write JavaScript scripts and you do not need any other interpreter or whatever. In the moment, if you want to not to use Java to program, you need some interpreter, Triton or JRuby or other things, Scala or whatever. And if you want to script, but only want to use Java, JavaScript is an option. These are the three things I want to vitally change with version 2. No native code anymore. Image handling completely revised and to make it available for other scripting environments and for testing frameworks like Robot Framework. In the moment, it is a hard job to integrate it into a Robot Framework environment for someone who only knows Robot Framework from top down. But it is simply, it is possible. I have now all these features in SQLy that never have been there before. Dynamic LastPass handling, adding whatever during runtime, what is needed. making available whatever needed is during runtime. And with these elements, it is rather easy to adapt more environments.
Great. You know, I am really excited about this project, mainly because, like I said, I am a test automation engineer, and we mainly use Selenium, but our application also integrates with these thick client applications.
Yep.
So if I can come up with a solution where I can use Selenium for a majority of my testing, but yep. when I need to integrate with these other thick client applications, it'd be awesome to have this open source technology that works within Java, within the framework, and I could just call it and program it straight up using straight Java. So yep. it sounds really awesome. So in the current version, what OS systems and what programming languages does it currently support?
You can use it on Windows systems up to the 8.1. And you can use it on 32 bits and 64. And it runs on Mac up to current version 10. I am usually working on my daily business. I'm doing on Mac. I have a Windows machine and possibilities for testing and working with Linux, Ubuntu. These are the systems, Windows, Mac, and Linux.
Yep.
And the base is Java. So you can use every environment that can use Java classes. So you can use it in Scala, you can use it in Clojure, you can use it with whatever. JRuby and Jython are supported in the IDE. We have a SQL IDE, a small piece of GUI that allows some image handling and scripting in Jython and Python language and Ruby language. For all other aspects, if you want to do some debugging, you have to use Eclipse or whatever.
Great.
To work then with Jython or JRuby.
Is there any functionality that's in SQLi that you think most people are not aware of?
I think it's the other way around, that people look at the functionality and the promises SQLi makes, and then start to try something out, and then it's getting complicated.
Mm.
And this is something that I want to make a little bit more comfortable with version 2. And this is image handling. Currently, let's say you start on a Windows system and set up a workflow that runs. It's clicking, it's finding, and whatever. And then you say, okay, now I have a Mac, and I want to use the same workflow on Mac. And then you put your script on the Mac, you start it, and nothing works. And then you either you dive into the details or you throw it away. And the problem we still have with SQLi is that an image, a snapshot that you take in one environment need not be usable in another environment because it's all pixels. Therefore, it depends on how the image is rendered on another system. And in the modern browsers today, the problems are it's going away. It's more compatible now, the rendering process in the different browsers. So you, with modern web applications, it's possible to find the image if it's a Firefox session or a Chrome session or a Safari session or whatever. Internet Explorer still is a problem.
Like most things with Internet Explorer, it seems.
Yeah, this is what I want to say. It's not that people do not see something that would be available with or possible with SQLi. They overestimate what is possible with the SQLi. And because it's in the first step, it's rather easy. It works. And if you go into more complex scenarios, then you have the image problem I just talked about. In the worst case, you have to set up an image set for each different environment you want to run your scripts or test cases. And this is another point that I want to better support in version 2, to be able to start a workflow in a different environment, and then if the workflow stops because an image is not found, you will be able to recapture this image in the new environment and have image groups automatically and things like that.
Awesome. So currently, does it handle anything like where you can adjust pixel tolerance to say as long as it matches within, I don't know, 90%, that it will not error out?
Yeah, this is what I think most people that start with Siculi do not realize, that this main functionality is based on one feature of OpenCV, Open Computer Vision. This is a match template, and this is simply a pixel-to-pixel comparison. And most people capture, as I always say, bad images. The more background you capture together with the image, the greater the risk that you get problems later. This is what I want to optimize, to build in a feature that automatically optimizes a picture that you have captured for use in different workflows.
Cool. Are there any resources or books that you would recommend to someone to help them get started with Siculi?
No. That's one of the things that I'm really behind, but I decided in the first place to support people that are using Siculi. Second place is to make it better and add some features. And I think somewhere during the next year, I will start to write some stories, maybe an ebook or whatever about Siculi. But in the moment, you have to go into the internet and ask Google, tell me something about Siculi, and you will get tons of entries.
Great. So, Raymond, you bring up a good point. You sound like a one-man show there. So I know other projects that are open source, like Selenium, they have a lot of contributors. So how can we contribute to this? Because I think this is really, this podcast is for software testers, and I think this is a tool that can help software testers. So how can we contribute to make your life easier, to get, you know, more improvements made into this project?
This is another point that I want to improve with version 2, to make it more easy to contribute in the moment. And I think this is one thing that proves that not so many professionals are using Siculi. And if they use, I think they don't have much time to contribute. And if someone in the moment wants to contribute and looks into this software, he says, oh my God, I have to do enough with my own stuff. Okay, I have some contributors. The Ruby side is, I have a main contributor that is contributing to make Siculi available with JRuby environment and Cucumber and this area. I know that there are some people that would start to contribute when it is more easy to use it together with Robot Framework. And all the other people that are using Siculi, I think they are gamers. And I don't think that, or my experience with these gaming people is they are no programmers. And therefore, this is a structure problem. It is a problem of understanding how this Siculi works. And where should I have a look into what piece of this Siculi to improve something? And this is the main thing I want to improve with version 2, to make it clear. And on the other hand, I surely want to be backward compatible. And this is always a problem if you have to take some history with you into the future. I cannot start all over new, but I will improve that.
Is there one piece of actionable advice you can give someone starting to learn Siculi? And how can someone learn more about Siculi and get in contact with you?
The first place to get in contact with me is the SiculiX homepage. It's siculix.com. There's everything you need to get started with SiculiX. And then we have the launchpad area of Siculi. The pointers are on the homepage, where people can ask questions, post bugs, and things like that. And then I have my GitHub presence, where the software is available, and where you can look at the software or fork it or whatever. And the usual way is to download a starter application that sets up securely for the use on your system. And that's all what is available in the moment. And if people start with securely, I always hope, but most people don't do that, that they just read through the first two pages of the homepage, because the main topics are listed there and links and so on. And then at least read across the docs, so they get a feeling about the basic functions and features of securely. And then they should simply start to create a first workflow to get a feeling how it works on that system.
Awesome. So I'm really excited about this project, and I really appreciate you taking this on and moving it forward. So I think it's going to be a great benefit, especially to testers in the testing community. So any help you may need or anything, I'm going to try to get as much information out there to point back to the project, and hopefully we can try to get more active to help you out.
Yeah, that would be great if this talk that we had would lead to that more people are knowing securelyx.com and the GitHub project, because this is the place where people should start and look into the future. I want to make the years behind that people are starting to forget about these years and switch to the new version, and because it's much better.
Thank you, Raymond, for your securely automation awesomeness. For links to everything of value that we talked about in this episode, head on over to testtalks.com/40. And while you're there, make sure to click on the more info link under our exclusive sponsor section to learn more about our awesome sponsor, Sauce Labs. Also, I would love it if you had a second to leave a review in iTunes. Those go a long way in terms of exposure and helping new people come along and see the show is worthwhile. And honestly, it helps me stay motivated and learn what's working, and just as importantly, maybe something that is not working, to help make Test Talks even better. For example, Farah Agha recently left a review in iTunes. They've been away from testing for some time, but was looking for a resource to help them get back up to speed. They mentioned this show has helped them to learn some of the latest technologies and techniques. Thanks, Farah, for your review. That's it for this episode. I'm Joe, and my mission is to help you succeed with automation awesomeness. As always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Test Talks podcast. Head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.